Good morning, church. Man, you folks should know better than give me 45 minutes to preach. Oh, Lord help us. Anyway, I pray that just thank for everybody being here this morning. Thank for all those who are out in the cars this morning. You know, I sing a little verse of song every once in a while. I say this every once in a while. I like singing this. It goes like this. Ain't God good? He gives us so many blessings undeserving. That's what we are. We ought to thank Him, love and praise Him a little more today, a whole lot more tomorrow. Isn't that the truth? We should do that. If we can't do nothing else, we should be able to say thank you, Lord. I tell you, I thank Him for what He does for each and every one of us. Well, I'm going to be over in 1 Thessalonians today, the 5th chapter, the 18th verse. And as has already been mentioned here this morning, you know, giving thanks is what we're going to talk about. I know we're coming upon the Thanksgiving season. And Lord willing, I want to get into this a little bit here this morning. But I want to talk about giving thanks this morning. If you would, 1 Thessalonians, we're going to start with the 5th verse. We're going to just do one verse, and that's the 18th verse. The 18th, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. 5:18. If you would, if you can, if you're there, just stand and honor God's word this morning and read it. Read it together. And it goes like this. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Raise your hand this morning. You're the you. You're the you that he's talking about concerning you. Let us pray, Father. Father, as we come, Lord, we want to thank you, Father, this morning for everything that you've done for us. I want to thank you, Father, for your mercy, for the grace, for all that you've given us, for Lord, you know, we're standing here this morning, being in your house this morning. We want to thank you for that. And Father, just knowing, Lord, that you saved our souls one day. And that, Lord, that you bless us with you each and every day with the presence of your Holy Spirit. And Father, we just want to give you that praise and that glory this morning. We ask it all in your Son's name, Jesus, and amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Thank you this morning. Have you ever heard this phrase before? Thanksgiving is caught, not taught. Have you ever heard that before? I've heard it down through the years. I never even let it sink in or get caught about it. But you know what? What is meant, and as some of it was mentioned here a little bit earlier today, what is meant by that is that true heartfelt thanksgiving, I'm talking about thanksgiving that's in your heart, is more than just lip service. Amen? I can stand up here and say I'm thankful for this, I'm thankful for that, I'm thankful for everything. But you know what? It's what's in here. It's what's down inside that counts way more than what you can stand up here and talk about each and every day. And I'm, you know what? It's more than just lip service or telling someone that you're thankful. It's way more than that. It shows how thankful you are. Listen to me. It shows how thankful you are by your actions more than your words. It does. And that's the way we should be as Christians. It's like telling someone you love them, but if your actions never show it, how does that seem to you? How would that seem to you if I told you I loved you, but my actions spoke differently of it? You know, the words "I love you" would have a hollow ring to them, would they not? Well, you know what? Being thankful without the actions involved with it is the same way. If we're thankful, we need to have the actions to back it up as well. An example can be found in the Old Testament. You know what? I'm not even getting into the heart of the lesson yet. A sacrifice of thanksgiving was given by God's people. It was given. That's what it was. Not only were they verbally able to give that thanks, but you know what else they did? They said they also went out and made unleavened cakes. They made unleavened wafers. And that's how God wanted them to show and to think about how that the thanksgiving was in their hearts. Now, we're coming upon Thanksgiving Day, and can I tell you this morning, Christians, we should know this, Thanksgiving is more than one day a year. It should be every day in our hearts. Whether we want to admit that or not, we should be full of Thanksgiving in our hearts each and every day, not just one day a year. Well, you know, thanksgiving coming forth from a truly thankful heart will always show itself that way. In Acts 20, 35, it says this, I have shewed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of our Lord Jesus, and how that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. You know something about that verse of Scripture? Let me give a little time out right here. It's the only verse of Scripture in the Bible that's in red that Jesus never actually said in the Gospels. Did you know that? If you go out and look at that, it's what Paul said that Jesus said. It's Jesus meant it, but it's not actually over there. But Thanksgiving is a sure sign that an individual has a relationship with God. You want to find somebody that has a relationship with God, you see how thankful they are. You see how much thanksgiving comes out of their heart. You see how much they are thankful for what God has done for them. If you want to see somebody that truly has a relationship with God, that's how you can tell. One of the ways that you can tell is how thankful that they truly are for what God's done. Matthew 13, 16, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Can I tell you that verse of Scripture, what that means to me, as God has showed me this week? You know what? I thank God one day that He opened up my spiritual eyes, and I thank God one day that He opened up my hearing to where I could hear the Word of God and hear the truth, and I'm thankful for that this morning. And if you're sitting here this morning and you know Jesus as your Savior, you should be willing to shout this place down, knowing how thankful that you should be that Jesus Christ lives within your heart this morning. According to this Scripture, a time of thanksgiving is not an option. It is a directive to every believer that's sitting in here and in the sound of my voice. It should be a directive to every believer. A time of thanksgiving. And not just when we feel like it. Not just when we feel like giving thanks. Or just once a year. Thanksgiving should be in our hearts all the time. Even when we don't feel like giving thanksgiving. There are times all of us don't feel that thankful in our hearts. That's the time that we should be giving God the most thanks in our hearts. That really should be the time. I know that's hard. I know I'm preaching something that's hard. It's hard in my life, and I know it'll be hard in your life. There's stuff that we go through. All of us go through. And brothers and sisters, that's the time when we as Christians should be thankful that we serve a God that's with us day through the bad times and through the good times. According to the Scripture, a time of thanksgiving is a directive to every believer. Thanksgiving holiday can be a misleading time because why? People think that it's the only time that we can give God thanks. Surely we should give Him thanks on Thanksgiving Day, absolutely. But brothers, there should be other times that we should be willing to give Him thanks. We need to understand that Thanksgiving is not just a day, but it is a lifestyle. Can I have an amen? If you have that as your lifestyle, constantly giving God thanks and giving Him praise, I'm telling you that is the lifestyle that we should have. Philippians 4th chapter, 4 through 7 says this, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. And the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Then it goes on to say, thanksgiving. Let your requests be known unto God. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you something right now that I'm going to go into a little bit more here later. We cannot enter into God's presence without thanksgiving and praise upon our lips. I want to say it again. We cannot enter into God's presence without thanksgiving and praise being upon our lips. We cannot do that. I'll get to that a little bit more here later. But you know what? In 1 Peter 1, 6 and 7, it says this, wherein ye greatly rejoice, through now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Has anybody in here been through manifold temptations in their life before? Have anybody had heaviness upon their hearts? If you're not raising your hand, you're lying to me this morning. Because we all have been there. Am I right? You were heavy to manifold. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at what? At the appearing of Jesus Christ. We go through things on this earth that, brother and sister, may take us to the grave one day. But praise God, I'm looking for something beyond this. That's why I'm thankful this morning. That's why I can be thankful beyond everything, because I know that I have something beyond all this nonsense down here. Christians, we have something beyond all this down here. Manifold temptation. Remember what Isaiah 61:3, to appoint unto them that mount in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes. Listen to this. The oil of joy for mourning, the garments of praise for the spirit of heaviness. I have had heaviness in my life, but praise God, I've been able to praise Him even through the heaviness sometimes. And it goes on to say, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. You don't know what you're going through today, maybe what somebody needs to hear about in the future. Because they may be going through something that you're going through right now. And brothers, we need to stand and testify to His glory, to His steadfastness, for us. I praise Him this morning for that. You'll see, the spirit of thanksgiving can't be faked. Some try it, and they can get by with it for a little bit. But I'm telling you, if you have the true spirit of thanksgiving in your heart, you cannot fake it. You can't. Thanksgiving is not just when you're on the mountaintop. But brother, sister, it's not just when you're achieving great things. Can I tell you something? Sometimes down in the valley, some things can grow pretty good. Amen? Down in those valleys, some things can grow pretty good sometimes. And I'm telling you, the true spirit of thanksgiving can be seen in individuals even when things are not going right in their life. You can see it or not making sense. When you do that, can I tell you what the devil will do? You're going to silence him, number one. When you give him praise, whenever you're not, you don't feel like giving praise, whenever you're thankful, whenever you don't feel like sometimes like you're thankful, you will silence the enemy in your life. You will silence the devil because he cannot stand it. He cannot stand the fact that you're praising God even whenever the world's falling in around you. Psalms 8:2. Listen to this. Mark this down. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemy, that thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger. Brothers and sisters, you don't think your thanksgiving, your praise, you will silence him. You will silence him in your life. Every time we enter into his presence, we are to enter into his presence with thanksgiving and praise. It says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise and be thankful unto him and bless his name. Psalms 95:1-2. Come. Let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence. Now listen to this. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise with psalms, with singing. Can I tell you something? When we go in before him, we need to go, when we get on our knees to go before him, we need to go with thanksgiving in our heart, and we need to go with a song on our lips. Amen? You want to find out where prayer is revolutionized? You do that. You try that. You go before him with thanksgiving and with singing upon your lips. If you're wanting a fruitful and a successful prayer life, if you want a prayer life that is revolutionized in your and within you, there's two things you got to do. Two things. Hebrews 4:16 says, therefore, let us come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace and help in time of need. I'm going to tell you something, and this is it may shock you. You don't need Dave Long to go to the altar for you. You don't need Dave Long to go pray for you. I'll pray for you. Don't get me wrong. I will do that. You don't need me to do that. It says if you're a Christian, you can go boldly before the throne of grace. You can do it. And the second thing is Hebrew, Psalms 104, enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Go into God's presence with faith believing and with thanksgiving and praise upon your lips. Too many times we go there, oh, woe is me. And too many times we go there with all these other things. Brothers, we need to go with thanksgiving and praise upon our lips. The last part of Psalms 104 says this. Be thankful unto him. Who is him that we're talking about? Well, I can tell you this. Psalms 47:2 calls him the Most High. It says, the one who Isaiah called the everlasting God. The one who Jeremiah calls the living God, and the one who Zephaniah 3:17 tells us this, the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save, he will rejoice over thee with joy, he will rest in his love, and he will joy over thee with singing. Did you know God sings for us? He will rejoice over us with singing. That's what he's talking about. God singing for that. I praise him here this morning. I don't know if you knew that or not, but pray God, it blessed me when I read that last night. I said this Wednesday night, do you know when you send your petitions up to God, they go right through the devil's bedroom? Did you know that? The Most High. My Bible tells me that Paul was called up to the third heaven. Amen? You know where the third heaven is? That's where God's at. You know there must be two other heavens, right? Well, there's one of them that says that's where the devil's throne's at. And I'm going to tell you what, it's below where God's at. And our prayers go right through his living room to reach the throne of God. I'm telling you, I thank him. I thank God this morning. You have a medical condition you want. If you have a medical condition, you know as well as I do, you want the best possible help you can get. You would travel miles to get to the doctor that you think would be the best for you, right? You go to Columbus, you go to Cleveland, no matter what, you'd travel great distances to see a surgeon or a doctor. All of us would do that for your family or for you. But let me assure you this morning, can I tell you, when you send your petitions up to God, I'm going to tell you you're sending to the very best. You're sending it to the Most High. You're sending it to the one where it says that my Lord and Savior sits on the right hand of the throne on high, making intercession for you. Let me assure you, you're not only heard. In 1 John 5:14 says, in this confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. But also he can answer them. In Ephesians 3:20, now unto him that is able to exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Can I tell you something? What that power is, that the Holy Spirit dealing with us. You know what? We put our petitions out there. The Holy Spirit tells us how to pray and what to pray for. Amen? We know we're saying I'll ask it all in God's will. I'm telling you, yes, we do. But praise God, if the Holy Spirit is dealing with you to pray about something, you get on your knees, and I'm telling you, God hears our prayers. Hallelujah. In the Old Testament, there are seven different words in the Hebrew for praise. Did you know that? Seven different words, and they mean seven different things. In Psalms 100, verse 4, four of them are in that one little verse right there. Four of them is in Psalms 104. And I wrote them down because I thought these were very interesting. When it says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, you know what the word used for thanksgiving is there? It's called towdah, T-O-W-D-A-H. It means adoration with so much, it's like a choir giving thanks, is what it is. It's just almost like a choir giving thanks. That's what it says. And when it says to enter into his courts and praise him, it's tehillah, which means songs of praise. So that means that whenever you go before him, you know what we have, whenever we want to praise and give thanksgiving, it's songs of praise is what he's talking about. And then the other one that says this, and it said, be thankful unto the Lord. And for the use of thankful is yada, which means to extend our hands. We're supposed to sing and to lift our hands up and give thanks and praise unto him. And then it also, the last one says there, and bless his name. The word used is Barak, and it means to kneel in thanksgiving. You know, there's four different things right there in that little verse that tells us about being thankful, about praising him, and how that we should do it. Brother and sister, you know what? We shouldn't be ashamed to lift our hands and say thank you, Lord. We shouldn't be ashamed to get on our knees and say, Lord, no matter where it is, say, thank you, Lord. Bless you, brother. We shouldn't be afraid to sing a song unto Him and give Him praise and glory. I'm telling you, He's wanting so much out of us, and sometimes we are so scared and so afraid to lift our hands and praise the One that's done so much for us. Listen, a spirit of thanksgiving can also release your faith to conquer the giants that are in your life. Did you know that? Listen, you're facing a battle. I've said this around here before, and I read this scripture before. Send out the praise team. Send out the praise team. Where's that in? It's over in 2 Chronicles, the 20th and 24th verse. I'm going to read it to you. What does it say? And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord that they should praise the beauty of his holiness. And as they went out before the army, amen. And as they went out before the army to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. I preached this here a while back, and I mean it. Brother said, if you're facing a giant, if you're facing the enemy in your life, send out the praise team first. Send them out first. Send them out there first. And how did it turn out for this bunch? You think they all got slaughtered? Well, here's what it says in the next verse. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. Enemy doesn't stand a chance. Enemy doesn't stand a chance. You send out the praise team first. You had thanksgiving in your heart. You go out there in prayer believing and faith believing. God, giving God praise and thanksgiving can release miracles within your life sometimes. It can do that. You see, giving thanks to God for something He has not yet done. I'm telling you, have you ever done that before? God, I believe you're going to do this for me. Have you ever done that before? Listen, it's a powerful act of faith that can produce breakthroughs in your life. Matthew 9:29, according to your faith, be it unto you. Whose faith? Whose faith is he talking about? According to your faith, let it be unto you. It doesn't matter about Greg's faith. It doesn't matter about Patty's faith. It says, according to your faith. That's what it's saying. And sometimes, you know what I feel like? They say if you have the faith, the size of a grain of a mustard seed, how small that is. Do you know how much I think my faith is sometimes? That's all it takes, because there's times in my life I feel like it's not even a quarter of a mustard seed. I'm just telling you, God said, let it be according to your faith. Let it be. Also, gratitude and thanksgiving will always produce worship in a Christian. Did you know that? If you got thanksgiving in your heart and you got gratitude in your heart, it's always going to produce worship. I know we've all heard the story of the 10 lepers, right? We've heard that story. And how that the Bible says this, they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And Jesus did. And he said, according to the scripture, and he said, it came to pass. And as they went, they were cleansed. He had mercy on them, right? But only one come back. Only one of them come back out of that whole 10. And one of them, when he saw he had been healed, he turned back. Now, the rest of the story goes like this. And then one day, one of the leper men got more than what he just than just a healing. We know that, don't we? He got more than just a healing. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. See, he wasn't even a Jew. He was a Samaritan. But he came back to give God praise. And he said unto him, arise and go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole. Now I want to tell you a little, underline the word whole there. Because that word right there is a Greek word called sozo, S-O-Z-O. And you know what it means? It means saved. It means delivered. It's the same word that's used in Romans 10:13. And let me read it for you. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the same word. Brothers and sisters, he came for physical healing. And guess what? Jesus Christ saved his soul. Amen. He saved. He said he was made whole is what it says. And why? for whatever, for why? What Jesus is saying is that leper was, not only did you get healed physically, but more importantly, you got healed spiritually. What was the difference with the other nine? Well, let's just read it. And with a loud voice, glorified God, fell down on his face and his feet, at his feet, giving him thanks. Giving him thanks. That's the difference. That's the difference. And again, you want your prayer life to be powerful? You want it to be revolutionized? You want your prayer life to do that? Again, I'm telling you, go to his presence with thanksgiving. Go to his presence with praise. And go to his presence with boldness. That's how you do it. The key to me is thanksgiving, gratitude, and praise. That's the three things right there. That's the key to it. Listen, in these passages we can learn, there's over 400 passages in the Bible that talk about gratitude and thanksgiving. 400 of them. I never went out and searched every one of them. I'm just taking commentary's word for it. There's 400 of them out there, they say. And you know what? That God wants gratitude and he wants thanksgiving and praise to be the primary. Now listen, the primary motivation for whatever we do in this life. That's what he wants it for. Colossians 3:15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which ye also are called in one body, to be ye thankful. I don't believe God's people should be using the C word. That's complaining. I don't think we should be using the G word. That's grumbling. I don't think so. Now, I know no one here has ever done that. I mean, you know, I know no one here has ever done that. But you know what? There may be somebody that you know that needs to hear this sermon, or maybe needs to hear what you're hear about this. Maybe there's somebody out there. You know, I'm firmly got my tongue in cheek, right? Listen, there's nobody in here that probably hasn't grumbled or complained at some time in their life about something. Because Philippians 2:14 for them, because, you know, we're supposed to be the bright lights, right? Do all things without murmuring. Oh, that hurts. Do all things without murmuring or disputing, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. How many believe we live in a perverse nation, crooked and perverse nation? I do. We live there. And brother, sister, we need to be the lights. He goes on to say, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. That's why we shouldn't be murmuring, complaining. That's why. Let me close and say, come get a song, Blue, if you don't care, please. She's come up here to get a song here this morning. Let me close with this and listen. You see, thanksgiving is born in one place. It's born in one place. It's born when God has shown us that we are sinners and we realize that we need his love and grace upon our lives. I was lost one time. I was a teenager, and I was lost. I mean, I was lost. I just lost my sister. I'm going to tell you this story again. My sister had just died of meningitis. She was 11 years old. Come home on the school bus, and she was dead within 24 hours. I had aunts and uncles that had talked to me about the Lord before. Had a couple of them, and had a neighbor one time. I just pushed it off to the side. But this one aunt and this one uncle, they kept coming around, and they kept talking to me. And I went to church after that, and I gloriously got saved. It was on a Wednesday night. I'll never forget it. I'm telling you, you don't forget something that changed your life like it's changed my life. You don't forget it. And it changed my life. And I'm telling you, I was thankful. One cannot be thankful until he or she realizes that ye are all sinners destined to die an eternal hell if you are not saved. I'm not standing up here this morning trying to scare you. But if I scare you that makes you accept Jesus, I'm going to say amen to that. Amen. I'm just telling you what the Bible says that's going to happen. You're here this morning and you're lost and you are undone and you do not know Jesus as your Savior. You truly cannot be thankful. I mean, you may think that you're thankful. You don't know what thanksgiving is until Jesus comes into your heart, do you, Ron? Amen. You don't know what Thanksgiving is. Can I tell you one thing further? Sue agreed with me on this. You don't even know what love is until Jesus comes into your heart. You don't even have no idea what love is until Jesus comes into your heart. Oh, I love my wife. I love it. Yeah. Do you love your wife unconditionally no matter what she would do to you? Do you love your husband unconditionally no matter what he would do to you? Spit in your face, run around on you, cheat on you. But do you love him that much? Jesus Christ loves you that much. He loves you that much and more. And I'm telling you, you know what true love is when you come to the knowledge that Jesus Christ loves you that much. And you accept him. Thanksgiving will never be the same after that, I'm going to tell you. Christmas will never be the same after that. Easter definitely won't be the same after that. Because he died for you. He took upon the sin of the world to die for you. And I'm telling you, he loves you that much. Romans 5:10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Yeah, he died on that cross. He didn't stay there. They put him in the grave. He didn't stay there. He rose the third day. And he sits at the right hand of the Father. And brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, if you want to be saved, he can save your soul. That's what he can do. Let's get a song. Person has a need this morning. Please come. Please come this morning.